When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch Money. Are you saving to reach your financial goals? Reaching those goals isn't just about getting more money, but by managing what you have. And the best way to manage your money? Monarch Money. Monarch Money is a new kind of finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and takes the headaches out of budgeting. Try it free when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. Monarch puts all your accounts, investments, transactions, and finances at your fingertips. With a complete view of your finances, you'll gain insights on your spending and find new ways to save. Plus, Monarch lets you customize your dashboard, collaborate with your partner, set custom budgets and goals, and track your progress toward them. See why Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it, and why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch Money the best budgeting app overall. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
Fatherhood won't instantaneously cure the things that we're struggling with. If anything, they help amplify them and make them very clear and precise, because now you cannot owe yourself to someone else and you got to figure that out.
Hey guys, welcome to
Attentive Fatherhood.
On the Bleave Podcast Network, I'm Bradley Hasemeyer, and this is the podcast for all us dads out there just trying our best. Welcome to the end of my guests for season one. Oh my gosh, guys, we have had seven amazing fathers, including this episode right here, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I just wanted to say I am so excited about season two. It is already right around the corner. I've got some awesome guests lined up. I've even already had some of those chats and interviews, so I cannot wait to tell you more about season two. But I have found in my own life how important stopping and reflecting has been. So over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to reflect on these nearly 2 months worth of interviews, and I'm going to bring you along with me. Next week's episode will sort of be like a best of. I'm going to take a lot of the dad advice that I've had over the past seven dad interviews, compile it into one, you know, burrito, one breakfast burrito of dad vice. It's going to be delicious and tasty, and you're going to love it. The week after that, I'm going to kind of reflect on my own things that I've learned talking to all these dads and what I've learned over the past 2 months or so as I've been attempting fatherhood. Yeah, and then I'm going to give you a sneak peek into season two, which launches around Father's Day, which is so exciting. So get ready. And I know what you're thinking. Just telling you all of this was a classic dad move, right? It's like the, okay, kids, we're going to go to the grocery store, then we're going to get some gas for the car, and then we'll head to the park, all right? But expectations, right, guys? That's everything. You know, clearly you know. All right, enough about the future, on to the present. This week, I'm talking with my friend Eric Figueroa, and if you've ever listened to the show, you've heard his voice before, because he's the guy who sings
Attentive Fatherhood.
Yes, he was messing around with like this auto-tune filter that he had, and I asked, would you just sing the title of the show? And who knows, maybe I'll use it, maybe I won't. And I heard it and was like, okay, yes, we have a new show open. It was awesome. So I met Eric a few years ago. We were both living in New York City at the time. We were both going to the same church and seemed like a super nice guy. But at first glance, we don't have a whole lot in common. He's from Puerto Rico. At the time, he and his wife had only been married a few years. They didn't have kids. And on top of all of that, he's in corporate finance. I know nothing about corporate finance, except it's two words that sound very fancy. And probably my parents would be more proud if I was in corporate finance. I don't know. Maybe that's part of my reflections for 2 weeks from now. Anyway, but we became fast friends because he's one of those people who has the ability to be both left and right brained. You know what I mean? Like, he's very organizational. He's very punctual. He's business minded. But you also learn he's extremely creative. He's a highly talented musician, speaker, and community builder. And what I mean by that is he's the kind of guy at the party who's like, you need to talk to the, you guys talk. Okay. And then he heads over here and he brings these people together. Of course, I haven't experienced that because of COVID restrictions, but he's that type of guy. We all know that guy. All right. Here are his dad stats. First off, I usually tell people what my friends do, but I was like, dude, can you just give me a job description? I don't even know how to tell people what you do. So he said this, quote, I'm a capital risk manager helping organizations thrive during financial disruption. I make magic math crystal balls that champion people's decisions. I mean, come on. Certainly, I would not write that. I don't even really know what that means. I'm actually more confused now than before, but he's cool. He's in his late 30s. He's now been married for 5 years, and he has an 18-month-old daughter named Taya. Now, one of the things I really appreciated about this conversation is we talk a lot about breaking cycles, right? Sometimes we talk about, like, there's alcoholism, you're breaking that cycle. Sometimes maybe it's like, you know, my parents expected me to get A pluses and anything less was bad, and, you know, trying to find that balance, you're breaking that cycle. Eric talked about how being from a military family, his parents consciously broke the cycle of how important discipline and very strict boundaries were. Because of that type of freedom, he knew he could do things like he could pursue music. He also moved to New York in 2012 from Puerto Rico because he just kind of wanted an adventure for life and for spiritual reasons and so many other things. And I would argue that that wouldn't even be possible within his own structure had his parents not been conscious enough to create that freedom in his life. He also drops all kinds of fatherhood gems, even though he's only been in the game for like a few months, essentially. I'm just like, crazy. This guy already has so much wisdom. He also talks about how growing up in a totally different culture, he and his wife are going to bring that balance to their daughter. And there's a lot of people in America doing this. There's a lot of people across the world doing this. But how do you balance the culture you came from and also the culture where you are, you know, kind of recognizing the past and the present at the same time? Not an easy thing, but he talks about that. He also gets real, real, real about lawn care. And it's important. I think that sounds so stereotypical, but truly, I think we can all get excited about a mulching mower, right? And you spend some time at Home Depot, Lowe's, walking around. You're like, I do need that riding lawnmower, even though we just have a patch of grass, but I need that type of thing. Anyway, it's great. And I love that we can all relate to that. Okay, enough of me. It's now time to hear how Eric Figueroa is attempting fatherhood.
So before we go started, let me know anything with the levels. Is there any background noise? Are we good?
You're so clean. I feel like we're both in actual studios okay. Right now.
Let me know. Tell me why ain't nothing but a heart. Okay, yes.
What is that? That's a vocalizer or something like that? What's it called? Yeah,
so I may or may have, I've been leading worship and doing stuff online. So I have my whole like digital rig, like studio rig flowing through my microphone outside. Yeah. And I may have taught a spandex exercise class on Monday.
What?
And part of it was, there you go, boy band music and Baby what? Shark and stuff like that.
I'm sorry, but before we get into anything at all, a spandex class on my, how does that even come up as a, we need someone to teach. You know who would be great? Eric Figueroa.
Yes. I don't know if great is, but it was all about, it's like, you need, what is your hidden talent? And you know, all my talents are all like serious and stuff. And I'm like, I need to do something completely out of character to this crowd. So I put on a white wig, hairy wig. I did the whole Richard Simmons version.
Wow.
Latino meets NSYNC meets Baby Shark and Wheels on the Bus. Because the whole fun of it is that we were dancing to Take on Me. That was like the regular cardio based song. And then it would switch to Baby Shark to help you work your hands and shoulders. It will work, switch your Wheels on the Bus and stuff, random stuff like that.
With kids?
No, four adults, millennials and Gen Zs and older people.
Well, what was your experience like? Are you excited to do it again, or will you never don the Richard Simmons wig again?
I think spandex is important. The right size of spandex is important. It kind of affects your pitch and your voice a bit. And you do sweat a lot. I mean, it's a Zoom session. You're teaching people how to have fun and how to exercise. It really is super cool to do. That and the wig itches. That's the other thing. I got to get a better quality wig. You know, $5 party, you know, Party City wig just doesn't. No.
No one's thinking that's a professional. That's not ending up on Broadway. Everyone knows that.
No, it is on YouTube, and I still have to work my magic. I'm actually reporting the site, see if I can get it banned and something, but it's
oh yeah, my gosh.
It's out there.
Okay, well, I want you to send me that link because a screen grab from that will probably be the thumbnail for this because that's amazing. I also love the little audio thing you were putting on there.
Yeah, that's Auto-Tune. There you go.
Auto-Tune, yes. There you go. Yes, Kanye West and earlier days. All right, well, I know you've got a 2 o'clock. Let's get kicking. First off, Obviously, thank you so much for being here. So let's get to your dad stats. How long have you been married? How many kids? And one word to describe her.
Oof, I've been married for 5 years, 2016. We got married back home in Puerto Rico. We have one beautiful, amazing kid, baby Taya. Taya is she's 18 months old, which is crazy. Time flies when you're having fun. One word, Hurricane Taya. And coming from a hurricane country, I feel like I am entitled to use this word appropriately. She is Hurricane Taya in all the good, best ways possible.
What makes her hurricane? What is the hurricane so clearly? I mean, you went to that so quickly.
So Hurricane Taya. So when you're on the island and a storm is coming, and you're a kid. So there's a couple of steps through it. First is the preparation stage. A hurricane is coming. You're not going to school. It's like you get all these materials, these food, this stuff, these resources. And you go like, I'm ready for this. I got this. This is going to happen. And the hurricane comes and hits you in the face. Just randomly, powerfully hits you in the face. And then after that, there is a moment of calm where you're like, wow, we can actually take pictures with this baby. She is cute. Look how still she is, how tranquil she is. And then the back end of the hurricane is just much more stronger. It smacks you in the face. And then at the end of the day, it kind of rips out everything in nature, and then it restarts everything all over again. And I mean, in a beautiful way, that's Taya every day, yes. But, you know, she's also taught us to just, we have to empty ourselves and figure out how to do this on the go and help us grow in so many ways, especially with COVID, which has been a crazy 2020. So
I think that's, I've never heard that analogy before, the hurricane, but I think that's such a great analogy for really kids coming into your life as a dad. I've talked with so many dads who've said, like, I could handle everything except my loss of independence. My schedule completely got wrecked. You know, my sleep patterns, like all of this, that's the hurricane. I love that analogy, because then you get to the place where you're wooed into thinking, hey, I think I got this. I've been at it a couple months. We're feeling pretty good. She's sleeping through the night. My hands, you know, I had a coffee with a friend. Like, we're back to good. We're back to no. And then just all of a sudden, unexpectedly, teething, diaper tray, potty training, all these, it's just everything comes again and just smacks you.
Literally, if you ever think you're finally in control, no, yeah, enjoy
it. That's a red flag.
Like, celebrate the moment, enjoy it, milk that moment. It is going to be a moment. It will not happen until they're like 25 years old, they're out of your house, maybe potentially getting married, and even then you're stressing about a whole lot of things. So
it's going to be new stuff. That's yes. The thing that I've been learning too, as I've been talking to more dads, is just how the worries shift. From how am I going to get enough sleep? How am I going to make enough money for this kid? All the way up to, like, they're at college. How do I balance letting them fail but not die? Like, somewhere in between there. So, the hurricane goes, and then it comes back again. And then it goes, and then it comes back again.
And then plus there's always, it's a hurricane season. So it's not just one storm, and it's everything one after the other one. So it's, you know, it's fun that way. It's a lot of growth. We've had so much, especially me and DJ, my wife, it just figuring out things together. Like, when you think you have everything figured out, you just have to push forward and see what's next. So it's been fun.
How would you define fatherhood? To me, that was an awesome definition, but I imagine that you've got something different.
Oof, how would I define fatherhood?
Yeah.
You know, fatherhood in many ways has been about risk-taking. And that's the word, I can come up with a bunch of prettier words to say, you know, it's being present and all these things. But as I look back over this last year and a half, and even with my relationship with my father, it's really a lot about just risk-taking. It's helping, being in a place where you can take risks for yourself, but then at the same time, your child is fearless. It's just completely fearless. I have this image of my, you know, because of Taya, I've been having all these flashbacks when I was little. And I have this image of my jumping into a pool. I think it was like a party of my dad's, you know, job or something back in Puerto Rico. And I was, might have been like 3 years old. I jumped into the pool. And the only thing I can see is the face of my dad just jumping towards into the pool with me, fully dressed. It's just kind of pulling me out of the water. I should have not been into the pool. And
this was not a 1-2-3 jump situation. This was everyone's hanging out, cocktail party, and you're like, that looks fun. I'm going to jump into that.
Literally, exactly. And I have that image burned in my head, and I look back, and you know, I've taken a lot of risks in my life, and either in my job as a younger adult, even moving from Puerto Rico back here into New York City, and all these things, and subconsciously, and I know this now. It's all about, you know, knowing that if my dad is present, I kind of feel more empowered to take risks and keep growing. And yes, he'll hold me accountable. He'll so hold me accountable. But
the eye roll there tells me so much. I'm excited to talk about.
Yeah. So he'll definitely hold me accountable. But then it's also about not staying in that failure zone. And when you're a parent, as I look at Taya, even today, we, you know, she was sitting down, she was playing with her toys. She took a peek and saw me. And then she jumped on top of a panda bear and then jumped on top of the couch and started jumping, and they almost got into the windows. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she just naturally clicks into that mode because she knows that we're there, if I'm there, and she can take those risks. And I really want her to grow up knowing that she can take risks and also be accountable for what happens afterwards. But she can jump into the water. I want her to be that girl.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, there can't always be a safety net. So that risk will evolve as well. Like the response to the risk, I guess, will evolve as well.
Yeah, definitely. Because if not, then we're just kind of just riding the tide in the water and the waves. And yeah, I mean, I just want her to jump out of the plane. I want her to jump in and pursue whatever passions, whatever's in her. But then also know, yeah, I mean, you got to clean up afterwards. Yes.
She
still doesn't clean up afterwards, but
working on that. That's in progress.
Yeah. Accountability will happen, hopefully, across
absolutely.
My fingers, so.
Was that how you grew up? Did you feel like you had like the freedom to jump out of the plane or to bounce off the panda bear and go toward the window? Or was that more like you saw your siblings doing that? How was that for you?
It was definitely, I think my parents did an amazing job at giving us space to kind of pursue, you know, whatever we felt passionate about. And whether it was sports, you know, I played tennis for a long time, but I was also into all these other sports. And I remember even being a big kid, not necessarily super healthy, and yet they would let me pursue these passions, even though I was killing my body and not necessarily going to make it. But it was the whole idea of they didn't necessarily restrain us in a way that told us, oh, no, you cannot do this. Actually, no, push for it. If it's healthy and good for you, push for it. See what happens. Whatever happens, learn from it and move on. And it was kind of always a philosophy back home. And that gave us the, you know, looking back, it's kind of unique because I do come from an Army family. And my parents' parents were like super rigid and strict and follow orders. And there's a lot of beauty in that discipline. And a lot of it I still love today. But they were somehow able to kind of break us also within that universe, give us a bubble of space to say, yes, these are the boundaries, but go out and, you know, wreck the world and be good and be safe and be good to everyone.
You know, we talk a lot about breaking a cycle, and the cycles can be good. They can be bad. They can be moderate. That doesn't always mean alcoholism or something like that. Was that a conscious thing on their part? Have you ever talked to them about how come grandma and grandpa were like so strict and then you guys were less strict, you know?
Definitely. There was some, especially as I look at my parents' siblings, there was a lot of breaking that happened with my parents coming together. I still don't know their full love story. I know part of their love story had to do with kind of going on their own and saying, yeah, we're going to try this and be together, even against the best wishes of or the ass of the rest of our families.
Oh, so this was like a Capulet kind of thing. This was like Romeo and Juliet. Like family didn't want them together, but they said, we want to be together anyway.
Right. And there's definitely some drama there. I'm yet to fully unpack it, but it was a beautiful thing that they kind of set out and kind of create their own path, their own journey. You know, they've been married for like 100 years at this point now. They're still together.
I mean, you look good for coming from a 100-year-old couple. Oh,
thank you. There you go. You know, they're always side by side. And I think, yeah, definitely through their journey, me and my brothers growing from them, seeing them figure out these things and building their new friends around there to be able to navigate with them. It's something that's definitely imprinted on us.
Hey dads, just gonna interrupt here real quick for some real talk. Now listen, I don't know if your shower routine used to be like mine, but If it was, it was a bar of soap and a shampoo conditioner combo that you got at the 99-cent store. But now, I'm in charge of small people's lives. I think I can do better than that. Thankfully, the team at Bird makes that easy. Their products use a ton of naturally derived ingredients, which actually makes a difference if you're going to be slopping lotion all over you and washing your face. I mean, your skin is full of pores. Do you want chemicals and stuff just being soaked into your body? No, of course not. They have a body wash, which I love. It smells amazing, and it's got everything in there from sea kelp to green tea. It's got sea salt, red algae, vitamin B5. There's just so many things in there. And so they're offering 15% off all of their stuff. 15% off with the code BIRDAF for Attempting Fatherhood. I'll put the link in the podcast notes just to make it easy. But there you go. It's awesome because that purchase supports our show directly. And you get a great deal and you make your life a little bit better. Huh? I think it's a good deal. Okay, now back to the show. I want to talk about the concept of what you just hit on, which was this kind of like breaking away. And it sounds like your parents did that from their parents. Is there anything in your life that specifically with your dad or parents, I guess, that you loved and you're like, yes, we're adding this into the family? And then what is something that you kind of felt like, this isn't right for us? Could be cultural, could be, situational, whatever.
Oof. I want to say, you know, as me and DJ, we just bought a house. We just moved into a new house out of the city.
Yes, which is crazy for you guys. It's like, this is big time. New York people don't do this.
Yes, New York people should never do this. But it felt like, I remember with all the stress and even with all the anxieties we may still have with moving out of the city, like the idea, the image of seeing baby Taya just running around and having all this space and her excitement is like, yeah, we're good. We were supposed to be here. And I think for us, it's that idea of putting ourselves aside and just making room for our children in a healthy way. I think it's something that stuck by my parents. My parents, you know, I look back and all the things my parents did so that me and my brother could have some sort of chance in terms of going to school and sort of pursuing our passions and sort of in things like building relationships. Like, they would force us to kind of go out and play with people in many ways. And you know, as I look back at these things, they were huge. They're huge building blocks for, you know, I work in business and corporate. My brother works between the, you know, culinary industry, insurance, and all these things that he does. And these are huge building blocks for our lives. And as I think now, as we start this new life with Taya, yeah, it's that idea of having the space to do that and going out and giving ourselves for others. And I think that's something that my parents did amazingly well, beautifully well.
They gave you physical space or kind of like emotional space?
It's the emotional space, which is kind of weird because in Puerto Rico, Hispanic culture, you do not see that. That's very taboo, especially being a male, especially coming from a military family. It's like you would not have a space for those things to kind of explore that. And just having the space, I keep using the word space, but just having the opportunity to step out of a rigid norm, to go out, explore, and in that same token, be able to give yourself to other people, to be able to sacrifice yourself for other people and do it practically for the people around you, for your friends, from your family. I think that's something my parents do very well. You know, even right now through COVID, my parents are probably in the average 65 to 70 range. And even now today, they will tell no one about this. They're volunteering every day doing COVID vaccine rounds in Puerto Rico.
Wow.
And they are part of the high-risk population. But, you know, when the hurricanes came, they would go out and get in a car and call people and figure out how to get food and aid to different communities. And they are at the point where they should be resting, sipping Mai Tais and mojitos and the beach and just disconnected from the world. And they find so much joy in just heading out there. And that idea of giving themselves to other people in so many whole ways, is for us, it's golden. And I'm still learning to do that very well, especially moving out of the city. But I think that's something that we really want to do in our house.
What about, did you know that? I'll get to the second half of that, but I want to follow up with, did you recognize that as a kid? Or did it take you kind of getting older to look back on it and be like, that's pretty cool?
Definitely getting older. I think entitlement is a big thing as you're a kid. I'm invincible. I'm where I'm at because of myself, of the efforts that I put in, of putting myself through college and all these things. Looking back, it might have been Brené Brown or Lovey. I got a couple of different people that I kind of follow and learn and read books from. But it's this idea of, it wasn't until more recently that I understood, we are where we are at today because we were able to have a different starting point than other people.
Yes.
And I mean this physically, economically, but also emotionally. And in my case, where I hit really, where I had a lot of treasure, a lot of gold, was in my parents had this philosophy of, hey, we may not have all the means, but we're going to go out and, build the network, build the relationships, get the job, do everything we can to get our children moving forward. And I think that's golden.
It's so funny because knowing you, that's so you. Building networks, moving things forward, building relationships, that's totally you. It's trickled down.
Yeah, and it's not something that I did conscious, or at least I didn't realize consciously, maybe until even a few weeks ago when my parents came over to help us move and to kind of set up. And yeah, it dawned on me. It's like, yeah, they've been doing this all their lives. Even when they got married and decided to move on. And when my brother came along and I came along, this has been their MO for the last 40 or 50 years. So it's been very, very encouraging to see that. And in many ways, hopefully inspired us, me and Delise, to kind of live that way too.
Totally. All right. So that's something you're taking and adding and incorporating. And I would say already doing that from such a giving standpoint. You guys are always so gracious in giving of your time and energy, which is just as important, if not more, than funds and stuff like that. But what is something maybe that you look at and you think, yeah, that doesn't really fit for us?
So good. I'm striving to be present more of the time, And I think the same token that we like to go out and like to be out and give ourselves, we sometimes, especially me, I sometimes in that hecticness and that energy, I miss just enjoying the moment and be here now and enjoying the moment now. And especially with Taya, that she's growing up so fast. She's already starting school. She's doing all these things. And I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out on those experiences. I don't want to miss out on building those memories with her and making her feel that she is heard, that she is known, that she has a place for her here at home.
And your dad was just a hard worker, a busy guy, wasn't around, or he was there but not present? What was that?
Right. No, my dad is a super hard worker. My dad would be, he worked in the pharmaceutical industry and they work weird shifts. So he would, leave home at 4 or 5 in the morning. He would come back at, 6, 7 p.m. at night, take a shower, watch some ESPN. In the afternoons or during weekends, yeah, we would play ball. We would hang out. We would go to church together, all these things. But at the same time, I know his energy wasn't necessarily fully there, not because he didn't want to, but physically, now I only have one kid and I physically know that everything in my body hurts. Like I went for a 3-mile run the other day and I was like, what is this? What's happened to my body?
What is this thing that I'm doing? Is someone chasing me? I forgot my motivation. Why am I out here?
Literally. So
But you're in the corporate world and a lot of the dads I've spoken with are kind of in that freelance space that I am. So our schedule is more flexible. Pre-COVID, how were you like looking at that? Because, obviously you wouldn't have known that you're going to be working from home as much as you were. So that assumption of like, all right, I'm going to have to set boundaries. I'm going to go in at this time and out at that time. Was that a conversation that happened or it was like, we'll just kind of figure it out as we go?
It's a conversation I wish I would have had before everything happened, before 2020 happened. So a bit of time travel here. Taya was coming out and November 2019, before COVID happened. So in my plan, in our idea was, hey, we have Taya, my wife does her maternity leave, then I do my paternity leave. And, for the first 6 months or more or less, we're going to be covered. We're going to be fine, set boundaries. And even in my career, I work in corporate, a lot of business strategy, a lot of, making crystal balls and things like that. And I work with a lot of different teams. So I've always had that flexibility to work remote, to move around, to be on calls in different places, as long as I have my laptop. It was a great privilege beforehand. I think when COVID happened and we were all forced to live and work in this 400 square feet space, with a tiny human being next to us.
Yeah.
Super energetic, super happy, while recovering from just having a baby and transitioning into that. And I think that's where it hit us. It's like, we have to set boundaries. We have to get better at setting boundaries and stopping times and just blocking out types in our calendars for things like fitness and just eating.
Mental health, right? Stuff to be able to just make sure that you're 100% dad so you can be fully there.
Literally, we have to do it that way. We cannot just work 20 hours a day, take a shower, and then go to sleep. Our minds will keep ticking, and then we wake up the next day tired. Eventually, it's not sustainable. And it's one of the big learnings that I have from having a kid. Even though I didn't physically push Taya out of my body, my body did change. My body just tells me, hey, that you don't have that energy anymore to just go out, put on your 60, 70 hour work week, plus do all these fun stuff creatively that you do, plus fitness, plus Taya. And it kind of helps you organize and reorder your life to say, okay, I need to start emptying my cup a bit to be able to enjoy the tea.
What's been the hardest part of that? Is there an element that you just love that you feel like I got to let go of this, or I have to reduce this thing for the greater good?
Yeah, two things, music and community building. I love music. I love studio time. I love just being out there with people. And I know now that, you know, for every ounce or every minute that I'm out there with people, it's less time that I'm not with Taya and I'm not here at home. And not only for Taya herself, but also, you know, part of being a father is also being a husband.
Yep. It's a great line.
And how do I build up my wife as she pursues her career, post-maternity, you have to be physically present. You just have to be. So music and having that energy to sit down creatively,
down with a guitar sometime and you're like, okay, here we go. Here, brum. Okay, that's it. That's all I got. All right, off to bed.
No, it's exactly the same thing as CrossFit and just going on a run. You haven't physically done it in so much. Then when you're ready to go, you think you're, okay, I'm going to go, I'm going to, you know, bench press, I'm going to, you know, do all this. And then you start with the warm up and you're like, okay, I'm done. I'm good.
You're like, I'm done. Nope. You get in the gym, you start, you're like, nah, I'm heading back home. I'm going to cook dinner for the family and we're going to bed.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's super, definitely the hardest because for a very long time, it was part of my identity. You know, who I was tied in many ways, still is tied to what I do. And music and creativity was a huge part of that. Being out there on community building and a lot of the things that we do in terms of connecting with people, that was another big thing. And we were getting a lot of invites to just go to different places and whether it's on, you know, seminars and public speaking and all these things to be out there. And we love it and we love the energy of it. But at that same time, we were sacrificing something that was really tied to my identity, which was Taya and my daughter. Versus something that I was doing that I really do enjoy doing, but then we have to start saying no,
because that struggle with identity is huge, right? Because I think you could just as easily now identify as I'm a father and I have to be a success, quote unquote, successful father, and I have to be around and I have to be present and I have to get her into a great school and we have to, you know, all of a sudden that becomes your career, you know.
Definitely. And I think also it's not only whether or not we put that mantle on, but also what does that identity of, what does fatherhood look like to each one of us? And that could be radically different. And that could also be full of the ideas and the experiences that I had growing up. I don't want to be this type of father. I want to push to be able to do this. And over time, frankly, what ends up happening if there are things that I didn't necessarily work out when I was younger, through my college years, through my dating years, they'll just happen again over and repeat themselves again.
They just repeat.
Fatherhood won't instantaneously cure the things that we're struggling with. If anything, they help amplify them and make them very clear and precise, because now you kind of owe yourself to someone else and you got to figure that out.
That is so true and so deep. I think when I first thought, oh, I can't wait to get married, then I don't have to worry about finding myself checking other girls out. I'm not going to check out other girls. I'm going to get married and I'll focus all of my attention on my wonderful wife. And then you get married and then you're like, oh, that didn't go away. That's still there. And I think it's just the same kind of concept as like, well, you know, when I have a kid, you know, I'll finally be able to be more patient. I'm not a very patient person, but once I have, and then you're like, no, I'm still stressed out. I'm still anxious. I'm still frustrated. All these things. There's this awesome SNL sketch where Adam Sandler is, he's fronting a, this is a newer sketch, so it isn't like old school, but he's fronting a commercial, something that you would see like when you're watching local news or whatever. And it's to come on their tour. It's a tour company and they go to Italy and, you know, he's like, come be a part of our tours. We do these things and we go here and this. And he goes, and we do this. We go to these beautiful places. And you think this is a regular commercial. And then kind of the twist comes in. He goes, but let me be very clear. If you are not satisfied with your life at home, you will not be satisfied with your life on our tour. It will not cure you. And then it goes on again. There's this, this, this. Let me be clear. If you are having problems with your marriage, this will not fix it. You will come to Italy and still have problems with your marriage. And it was just like so, so brilliant, and but also so true. And I just don't think I consider healing those things for the future self. I think about the now self, but really it's the ripples that come ahead of us.
And I think Italy is such a great example. You could be in the center of one of the most vibrant, amazingly, architecturally, like, created spaces in the world and not even absorb an ounce of that energy, of that vibe, of that inspiration, just because we're too consumed in ourselves. We're too just burnt out to be able to open ourselves up to anything else.
You can't, the taste is gone. The taste isn't there. The color is not there.
Yeah. And part of it is, you know what? Get a helmet, ride a moped through the city and enjoy the moment and drink some coffee or tea or whatnot. But, and I think that's a trick that I'm slowly discovering with fatherhood. Yes, we're giving up. I'm learning to give up these things, which I'm really passionate about, for something that I know I'll ultimately be much more passionate about and am more passionate about, which is Taya. Yeah, it's definitely a bigger, you know, bang for the buck from your time investment perspective.
So. I have you till 2 or 2:15. Well, I want to make sure you make your train. Like 2:05?
We can do 2:05. We can keep going.
All right, we'll go to 2. I don't want you to be late for your train. You gotta get in the city, bro.
We got this.
All right, we got this. All right. I wanted to find out culturally what's been just an experience as somebody who grew up in Puerto Rico, specifically the parents you had, moved to America, now raising a kid in America, but also holding on to your own culture. How do you balance that? How do you do that?
I think holding on, this is probably one of the hardest pieces of having a multicultural family and also just moving around a bit. And full disclosure, I do come from an Army family, and some of that moving around identity kind of stuck with us in our upbringing. But at some point, you do want to set roots down and you just want to grow that trunk and be able to branch out. And I think one of the hardest pieces for us is to what point some of that Hispanic, Latino, Puerto Rican culture is something, how can we spread that across in a way that Taya can also identify with it, but at the same time, hold on to she was born in New York. She was born in the city.
Right.
And hold on to some of that hustle vibe and creative vibe that we really hope that she's able to get. And it's not easy. I think the hardest part for us, frankly, is family. In Puerto Rico, families are super extra, like where I come from. Like extra, capital EXP. Like,
all like, bold, underlined.
Like, oh, you're dating someone? And then suddenly, oh, wait. Oh, yeah, here's your aunt she's already talking about when you guys are going to get married.
Wow.
And, oh, wow, I found out you're dating
involved,
this person.
Like overly involved, hands in every part of your existence.
In everything from your dating life to your job. It's all built like Puerto Rico is a shire. You are a hobbit and you grow up in the Shire and you do not, literally we're 4 feet tall people and we just stay in the Shire and we grew up in the Shire and you never leave the Shire. And then this idea, but for all of that extraness, family is always there. When you give birth, you never lack medicine. You never lack the basic needs. You never lack physical care and just people rooting you on. And whether it's, you know, school, whether it's family, whether it's sports, like we can be the loudest people ever in a stadium. We fiercely protect each other, our own, and we root each other on. And I think one of the hardest pieces in moving on and growing up here is that me and Delise, we come from that DNA. Her mom had like 14, 15 siblings. And
oh my gosh.
So literally, like we have that ingrained in us. And it's how do we build that same culture here in a place for Taya, especially when the first year of her life is on a context where we were not supposed to talk to anyone. We can't really bring people over to home.
It's right, COVID, right.
And we have to physically separate people. And I think for us, that's been one of the hardest things. And on top of that, our parents, they're already like, they are in the high risk population, you know, traveling with them. There's all these other difficulties. So it's I think for us, is that part of leaving family behind and figuring out how do we grow that here has been one of the hardest pieces.
What are some practical things? I mean, you guys watch Spanish television, you look at photos of your family. Like, how do you kind of bring a kid up with that?
So practical things that we do. To keep that family culture on, we Zoom every single day and we FaceTime every single day, at least multiple hours with her grandparents, you know, my parents or my wife's parents every single day.
Wow, that is commitment.
It's every single day. And like even throughout the day, like Taya could be walking around in the morning and she wakes up and she goes like, Abo is my dad's name for her. Yeah, that's what she calls her. And she already recognizes them. And when she finally sees them in person, she knows these people. She's able to associate that relationship with them. Saturday morning, bros. Sorry, guys. If you are marrying a Hispanic, Latina, especially Caribbean, they're going to wake up at 7 in the morning every Saturday. They're going to put some salsa or music from the campo.
And oh,
it's
my
just
going to
be clean day. No one leaves the house until the whole house is fully clean. It is what it is.
Just deal with it. That's how it goes.
Yeah. Just happy wife, happy life. No.
Yeah. Forget your football sofa and laying back with chips on the couch. This is not that day.
Yep. Definitely. Getting a lawnmower has been one of the more bizarre experiences. You know, one day you're talking with a friend about base jumping in the city because, you know, it's COVID now. They're allowing us to do that again. And then the next day you're literally buying a lawnmower and you get excited
about it. Which you're comparing stats and horsepower and maybe I do need the double mulcher triple reverse engine thing that they offer.
Mulching. Like who goes out in a backyard, has a beer and talk about mulch? It's like, no. But it's, you know, it's part of the things that happen. We adapt to it and we're going through it. So it's building that family ecosystem, especially in this context of being separated from people. And I will say that has been also one of the most rewarding experiences because back home in Puerto Rico, even though we're all super different, we all come from the same mindset. We all think alike in many ways. Here, connecting and reaching out to people means that you get to be vulnerable and bring that diversity in. And it's been one of the most beautiful things to see Taya and our families interacting with people that don't talk like us, don't even physically look like us. And that has been huge for us.
I love that. I think that element of diversity, especially early on, just presenting the world is bigger than yourself. I think that's something New York City really provides and larger cities in general, but New York is such a melting pot from that standpoint. All right, so I'm going to get you out of here for your train, but before you leave, give us some encouragement.
Hey guys, give yourself credit and cut yourself some slack. And
ooh, that's good.
We want to get it right from the get-go. We will fail. We are going to get mad. We want to throw things. And hey, find healthy venues to be able to do that, whether it's CrossFit, whether it's golf or mulching or whatever you think is.
Now you're up on your mulching all of a sudden. You're loving it.
Get a tractor and go out. And there are healthy ways to stay connected physically and emotionally. But cut yourself some slack. You got this. And you got this doesn't mean that you're going to get it right 100% of the time. But it does mean that, you are going to keep at it and keep at it and do your best to be physically there for your kid. And just in that alone, just get rid of that pressure, because there are, yeah, that just give yourself some slack.
I'm gonna listen to that. I'm gonna take that to heart. I'm gonna listen over and over to that. That's so good. I love what you said. You're gonna get it. We're gonna get through this, but it doesn't mean you're gonna get it perfectly. You're not gonna get it necessarily, quote unquote, right, but it's gonna work. Well, Eric, I know you've got a train to catch. I just wanted to say thank you so much. Thank you for attempting fatherhood.
No, thank you for making this happen. I appreciate you, and you are amazing to connect with.
I made this whole podcast just so that we could talk. That was it. Ooh, it's done. It logo, me, website, all of it, just for you.
It just makes. I just want to say something to you.
Bring it.
Come on, spend a little more time on you.
Wait, will you say? Will you sing "Attempting Fatherhood"? Just the title with that. I think that I may use that. That's cool.
Attempting fatherhood.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, we can play around this
all day, all day. All right,
much
buddy.
Much love, bro.
Yeah, likewise.
I enjoyed it. Take care.
Thanks, man. Peace. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to Attempting Fatherhood. My whole hope with this is that we build a community that encourages dads and that brings new information to the table and gets you excited about living your life, doing what you're doing. If you have felt that way, please make sure you rate us on Spotify, on Apple. Just rate us, give us some stars, hopefully 5, and make sure you share this. That's equally important. It's a great way to build community, to share this information with other dads, you know, start a text chain, whatever. That helps us, that helps you. We grow this community and all that. Thanks again for listening. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Attempting Fatherhood. Again, thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.